Good morning. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together. May God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. Thank you for giving us days like today when we could come together and remember you. I pray now as we open your word that you would speak, that you would speak to us as we read. Draw us to you. Help us to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's this interesting dynamic that goes through some of the stories. Actually, it goes through all the stories we've seen, and it'll continue through the rest of the stories that we're going to look at in the Old Testament. And I wanted to just take a minute and look at that dynamic, because it's not a story in and of itself. But it goes through several of them, and I was reading something this week in Samuel, and it hit me that this is something that is kind of a universal thing. So the dynamic is this. So as the children of Israel were in slavery and then came out of slavery and going through the desert and then going into the promised land and having judges and kings and then prophets, as they were going through all of these stories, there's something that has to do with remembering and forgetting. Forgetting and remembering. And there's this interesting dynamic that starts surfacing. And the dynamic is this. When they forgot, when they would forget, they would walk away from God. They would leave God behind. When they didn't remember, when they didn't remember God and who God was and what God had done and who they were in relation to God, when they didn't remember that, not that they couldn't remember, but not that kind of memory, but when they weren't actively remembering, they would walk away from God. Look at Judges chapter 2. Judges 2, and this will kind of set up the whole thing. So this is at the end of Joshua's life, and he's about to turn them over to God, and he's about to leave and himself go to God. So look at Judges chapter 2. Verse 6, when Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. So you see that and you say, okay, so the people who had seen what God had done, as long as they were around, they remembered, they knew, they served God. That'll be the second part of the dynamic. When they remembered, they would serve God, but when they would forget, they would leave God, they would walk away from God. So I skip down now to verse 11. So then Joshua died. The people who were of his generation, who had seen what God had done, who didn't have to try very hard to remember the things that God had done for them, they passed away. And look at verse 11. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And they went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. And it goes on, but that's the idea. When they would forget, they would walk away from God. When they would forget what God had done and who he was and who they were in relation to him, they were his people and he had rescued them from slavery. And when they would forget that, they would walk away from God. They would stop serving God. They would start serving idols. Everything would just go sideways for them. It would go bad. They would lose God's provision and his blessing. Their lives didn't go well when they forgot. But then the other side of the dynamic is when they remembered. So like how this story started. Well, when Joshua and the people who were of his generation who knew, who had seen what God had did, they didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to go back in time and look up in history books. They knew, they saw it. When the people would remember, they would serve God. When they would remember who God was and is and what he had done for them and who they were, they would serve God and they were blessed. Things would go well for them. They would be under God's provision and under his hand. They wouldn't be punished. They wouldn't run away from God. And the interesting thing, and the thing that made this story thing just pop, because you know, this isn't a new idea. We've seen this, right? You know that this is in the Bible. When you forget God, you walk away from God. When you remember God, when you remember what he's done, when you remember who he is and who he is to you, you cling to him. That's something we all know. But what made it pop for me was this week, look at 1 Samuel. I was reading, and the most interesting story, well, it's kind of a bad story. It's a sad story for God's people. 1 Samuel chapter 6. So, but well, you'll see what grabbed me. So God's enemies in this time, God's people's enemies were the Philistines, another nation that were around them, and they would go back and forth. Goliath, the giant, was a Philistine, and David was an Israelite. So God's people were on both sides of this struggle. God's people, the Israelites, and then the Philistines, the enemies of God's people and of God. And in a battle that the Philistines had won, they had actually captured the Ark of the Covenant. Like before Harrison Ford got to it, they got it. They got the Ark of the Covenant, and it meant so much to them because it was the sign and the symbol of the God of Israel. And now they had it. It was as if, it sounds weird to say it, but it was as if they had God in a box. They had the God of Israel in this box, and they had that power, and they took it home and they rejoiced. And this is the biggest thing that had ever happened to them, except it wasn't. Things started going badly for them. God started sending plagues to them. He sent two worst things you could get: tumors and rats. I mean, just what a horrible, no one would ever think of that combination, but by themselves individually, the two worst things you could ever get, just infested with rats. No time. I lived in a little house in Honduras, and it was infested with rats. I would wake up in the middle of the night to them scurrying and grab a mop, and I was a missionary. My roommate, the other missionary, would grab a broom, and we would run around the house and find the rat that had woken us up and beat him to death. And hadn't planned on telling that story, probably for a reason. Yeah, rats and tumors. That's how bad, what horrible plagues they got. And so they say, we got to do something. We need to do something. So 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? They finally figured it out. This isn't a power thing for us. This is a curse upon us. We got to get rid of it. Tell us with what we should send in its place. So they're going to send it back to Israel. They said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not turned away from you. And they said, what is a guilt offering that we should return to him? And they answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. So you must make images of your tumors and images of your mice that ravage the land and give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from off you and of your gods and your land. Why should you? Okay. Up until now, you're thinking, well, this is like a prophet. This is like Isaiah, right? This is one of God's prophets speaking. No, it's the pagan priests that are speaking. The pagan priests of the Philistines are telling their people this. Incredible. They're saying, give God a guilt offering because he give glory to God. It's incredible what they're saying. But the next thing that they say is what just grabbed me when I was reading it. Why would you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts after he dealt severely with them? Did they not send the people away and departed? And they departed. They remembered. This is several generations later. They remembered. These were people who didn't know God, but they knew what God had done, and they remembered what the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Israelites, and how God had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and how the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. They knew the story, and they remembered it, and it saved them. They knew who God was, and they knew what God had done in the past, and they remembered it. They remembered it, and it's powerful. It's a powerful thing. It's an incredibly powerful thing to remember. Remembering is powerful. That's the big idea from this story. We see these pagan priests. They remembered, and it saved their people. Remembering is powerful. Remembering, because when you remember, you serve God correctly, when you remember, you honor God, you receive his blessing. So God then, and it shouldn't surprise us, God would command his people over and over again to remember, remember. That's what he told them. Remember, remember my work with you. Remember what I've done. Remember, 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 remember how people have served me and the good and bad. I mean, this is remembering what God had done, but the Philistines also remembered what people had done. What the Pharaoh and the Egyptians had done, how they had rebelled against God and how it had gone badly for them. So remember God and remember how people have interacted with and responded to God. God would repeatedly command people to remember, his people to remember. Look at Joshua. Go back a little bit from where we were. So it's backwards in the story. This was before the people were in the land of Canaan, the promised land. They had traveled through the desert. They'd been freed from slavery. They're going to cross the Jordan River. And God commands them, as you would expect, given what we're talking about, he commands them to remember. Look at Joshua 4, verse 1. When the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, so God had stopped the Jordan River upstream. He made all the water pile up. He made them pass over on dry ground where there shouldn't have been dry ground. He did something incredible. And now look what he says to them. The Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. So he says, go, 12 guys go back into the riverbed. The water's piling up, and go back into the riverbed. Get a stone each, a big old rock. Get a stone each, and then look down in verse 19, because then he tells them why he commanded them to do this. And the thing is, this is an example. It's not an isolated incident. Look at verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the month. They encamped at Gilgal on the east bank border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. That's another thing he did, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. It's a powerful thing to remember. So God would command his people to remember, and not just this one time. Remember what I did. Set up these rocks. Make a ridiculous spectacle of rocks from a river. He's not just little boys who go around and collecting rocks. We went to Colorado earlier. No, it wasn't Colorado. South Dakota. It's just like a month ago. Anyway, should have remembered. We went to South Dakota. My boys, guess what they brought home? Yep, they brought homes. They're still in the garage. something to throw out when they go to college. But not just little boys who collect rocks. God tells people, make up this spectacle, these rocks. Why? So that you can tell your kids, look, these came from the middle of that river. How did you get them out? Did you send in die? No, God stopped the water. And he did that in the Red Sea too. Remember what God did. So not just you and your children know, but so the whole world knows, so that everybody knows what God had done. It's a powerful thing to remember. So God would repeatedly command his people, remember, remember, remember. We're going to hit some examples, some high points in God commanding his people to remember. I'm going to go fast because I copied these into my notes, so keep up or write them down, either way. In Deuteronomy 5:15, when God's telling them to take a day of rest every week, he said, look at the command. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Why? So you can remember. You remember, look in Deuteronomy 7, when he was instructing them on how to take over the promised land. Deuteronomy 7, verse 17, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but what? You shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. How can you be strong in battle? Remember, remember what God did. It's powerful to remember. Deuteronomy 8, now when they're in the land, and God's giving them instructions about what to do once they're in the land and settled. Verse 2, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the desert, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Remember how God provided for you, because he's the one who provides. Look at verse 18 of Deuteronomy 8. He's saying, you're going to prosper. You're going to have a lot. And when you prosper, what should you do? Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. And if you, look at the other side of it, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Remember, because if you forget, you go after other gods, then you'll be punished. It's remembering, forgetting. It's powerful to remember. I picked one psalm, two verses from one psalm to read. Psalms 103. The psalms, there are so many psalms that are about remembering. If you ever read the psalms and noticed how many psalms are just an account over and over again of God did this, and then God did this, and then he brought you through the Red Sea, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this. All the things that God did, these were songs. They would sing about God, what God had done. And here is just one commandment to remember out of the Psalms, out of all of that. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember what God has done. And then long after that, Look at Isaiah one more. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the thing, former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Remember what I've done. Remember who I am, what I do. God always commanded his people to remember. Why? Because it's powerful. It's a powerful thing to remember. And so you say, well, what does this have to do with us? We're supposed to remember. Just like the Israelites are supposed to remember. We're supposed to remember. Why? Because just like the Israelites, forget. We forget. We go through life and we forget. We forget what God has done. We forget what the consequences of serving him or walking away from him are. We have short-term memory problems and long-term memory. We forget. We don't remember. You know when we forget? We forget. Listen, we forget when everything is going well and we're pretty comfortable in our routine. We get busy. We get in our thing and we're focused on our life and we forget how incredible God has been with us and what he calls us to and how his purpose is so much bigger than my little purpose, even though my little purpose is going pretty well right now and I'm forgetting his purpose and we forget. And so my faith grows cold and my love grows weak and I don't seek intimacy with God and I haven't read my Bible for quite a while now because I just haven't had time because things are rocking and rolling. It's going so good and life and I'm busy. And I'm getting, and someday I will, and I'm really not studying with anybody or discipling anybody because I got so much going on, but we forget. We forget also when we're in the middle of an irresistible temptation, that thing you want to do, the thing you want to say, the gossip that you just can't bite your tongue hard enough for keep it from coming out, or the lie, or the anger, whatever the thing is that. That irresistible moment of temptation and our flesh just pulls us and there's no way to resist and we forget. And because we forget the consequences of disobeying God and we forget other people who have disobeyed God and walked away from God and we're not thinking about that in the moment and we sin. We don't resist. We don't triumph. We forget another time we forget is when everything is going badly. When things are going badly, we forget. We freak out. We take control ourselves. We get angry. We get stressed. I gotta fix this. Why aren't you reading your Bible? Why aren't you praying? I got so much. This is just horrible. I gotta get this under control. There's so much stuff going badly in my life, and we forget who God is and what he's done, and things don't look good in our lives. And in the same way that it's powerful to remember, it's really dangerous to forget. So just like the Israelites, we should remember what God has done, things that he's done for us, the prayers that he's answered, the hearts that he's changed around us, our heart that he's changed, the blessings that we have, the peace and the purpose that he has put in our lives, we should remember what God has done for us, like the Israelites are commanded to, because it's powerful to remember what God has done, because that gives us confidence, and it gives us security, and it gives us peace. It reminds us who he is and who we are, and it orients us. We should also remember what other people have done, like the Pharisee priests did. They remembered what the Pharaoh and the Egyptians did. They're a bad example, how they rebelled against God. We should remember that. We should remember how other people have rebelled against God and walked away from God. Isn't that why in 1 Timothy 1, Paul, as he's telling young Timothy to be faithful to God and to continue, isn't that why he raises up the two people who shipwrecked their faith? He's telling him, remember, think about these guys. Don't be like them. Let their example be an exhortation to you so you don't do what they did. It's powerful to remember what other people had, the bad example of other people, because it's a warning for us. And it says, don't go down that path. It's a flashing red light. Don't be like that. Be different. Don't end up like that. We should remember the good examples as well, isn't it? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. One more verse for us today. Maybe there's another one. We'll see. I don't remember. Hebrews 13, verse 7. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. And look what it says. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We're supposed to remember good examples of others as well. Why? Because it's powerful to remember, because that inspires us and it lifts up and says, you don't have to be like this person. You can be like this person. We're supposed to lift up other people so that we can be inspired to imitate them and serve them the way serve God the way that they did. So, we're almost out of time, and we still haven't talked about Jesus a whole lot. He's something we try not to do as we go through the stories of the Old Testament, because all the stories have to do with him. So what does this overarching story about remembering have to do with Jesus? It has to do a lot, because there's one thing that God commanded us to remember, even more than the examples of other people. He commands us to remember Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 23. The Apostle Paul is talking, and he says, for I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember me. 25. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Now you're remembering, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. You're remembering, we remember what Jesus did on the cross. That's what we're supposed to remember. And you say, why that? Because that's the most powerful thing, more powerful than crossing the Jordan or drying up the Red Sea, or what happened with the Ark of the Covenant and the Philistines and the mice and the rats or whatever size they were and the tumors. And more powerful than all of that, the most powerful thing that God did is when he put his son, when Jesus let himself be put on the cross. And he gave his life in the place of his rebellious creation, and he paid the price for our sins. And as his blood ran down, God's mercy was on display. And as you and I enter into the cross, that's the thing, when we remember the cross, we're also remembering, if you're a Christian, remember the moment when we entered into the blood, right? Remember that moment when we went under the water and came up and I'm a new creation. Remember that I'm new because of what he did on the cross. I'm a new creature. God's spirit is in me because of what he did. God loves me, and I'm beloved by the Father, and I'm forgiven, and I'm perfect in his sight because of what Jesus did on the cross. We don't just remember the cross. Remember everything that flows from the cross, everything that we receive from the cross. I have an eternity in heaven guaranteed for me, the sight of God, my Father. I'm going to rise from the grave because of what Jesus did on the cross. And as he was raised from the dead, it's a powerful thing. To remember, remembering is so powerful, especially when we remember Jesus or remember the cross. It makes us worship. It makes us give ourselves to Him. It makes us be thankful. It's powerful to remember. It changes and protects us. It sets our life in the right direction once again. It calls us. It warns us. So, what should we do as we get to the end of this particular series of stories? We should remember, right? We should remember. And if you're not a Christian, if you haven't decided to give yourself to Jesus, listen, when you think about Jesus, as you remember Jesus, just like the Philistine priests, when they remembered what God had done before, they responded to God. They responded appropriately to God. They surrendered to God in that moment as in what they did after that. If you're not a Christian, that's not what you should do when you remember. When you think about Jesus and what He did on the cross and what He is offering to you because of His blood and His sacrifice, you should give yourself to Him. You should repent and be baptized and make Him your Savior and Lord so that you can be forgiven and free and a child of God and receive God's Spirit in you because of what Jesus did. And so every week when we get to this point, I say this. When you're ready to make that decision, if you've never done that before, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You tell one of us and you can repent and you can be baptized. If you're a Christian, get to the end of the day and what do you say? I should remember. I should remember. I should remember. I should not forget. I should remember. I should actively remember. How do we remember? Let me give you a couple times to remember. And everything is going just like beautifully in your life. Stop and remember. So every day, just wake up. Life is going good. I got a lot to do. I'm kind of busy. Just wake up. Remember. Say, I remember. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. I remember who I am now because of what Jesus did. Meditate on that. Sing a hymn to God that makes you remember that. As you read the word, remember what God has done and say, thank you. I can't believe that I'm your child. Another time to remember is a harder one because everybody can remember to remember when you wake up and you read the Bible and thank you. I'm remembering. But what about those moments when you're in the middle of just that irresistible temptation? You are one nanosecond away from sinning. You're just about to just, whatever the sin is, you're just about to let go. Remember, stop in that moment. This is where God this week has been like making me apply this to my life. Just in that moment, making me realize this is what you're going to talk about Sunday. So stop and remember. And then inevitably, at least my experience this week has been the Holy Spirit will bring to mind examples of other people who either have gone down the path that I'm tempted to go down in this moment, or people who have very valiantly through the Spirit not gone down that path. And as I remember their examples, the strength that you feel in that moment to say, yeah, I'm not going to go down this path. I'm not going to do that thing, say that thing, and think these thoughts. Because we remember. One more. When everything is going really, really bad. I hope this doesn't happen to you this week, but you know, out of all of us, it'll happen to somebody. Bad moments, right? Something happens and you're just like, and you're going to fix it and you're mad. You just want to go drive in your car and turn up the music or do whatever you do when things are not going well. Stop for a moment and remember. Remember what God has done for you in the past. And start with the cross. And then drop into other things in that time that He did that and that He made that situation work out and He made that person not hate you anymore and this other thing happened and He worked here. And as you remember what God has done, you know what happens? We trust Him and we have peace. We have peace even though things aren't going well. Let's remember. Why don't we stand and we'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to You and we thank You. You are so good. Thank You for everything You've done for us, everything You've given us. I pray, God, that You would help us to be a people who are always remembering. And may that keep us so close to You, so passionate for You, for Your work and for Your kingdom. May it make us run away from temptation and depend on You when things are going horribly bad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.